This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. We have Brandon Weicker coming up about a half hour from now. We are about to get so much smarter on trade, Russia, Greenland, China, hypersonic missiles. A wealth of information is coming your way about a half hour from now, so that will be fun. We're going to move away from the RFK stuff for now, because I want to talk about Democrat resistance to illegal immigration enforcement. We're going to talk about the USDA Inspector General getting escorted out of the building, deporting anti-Semitic student visa holders, and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I need to explain something we're all seeing here, because you're going to see a lot of it. You're going to keep seeing a lot of it. And so you really need to roll your eyes when you see it. And I'm talking about the Democrat resistance to mass deportation. If you are a Democrat, you have a tightrope you need to walk right now. And you have to be very, very, very careful with that tightrope. Let's say you're a mayor, because right, the Pittsburgh mayor came out. Pittsburgh mayor vows not to work with ICE on illegal immigration crackdown. Okay? What's that mean? Well, he's not going to work with ICE. But you notice he didn't say he was going to actually oppose ICE, actually stand in the way. And here's why. The tightrope you have to walk if you're a Democrat governor or mayor, senator, whatever it is right now, is you need to act as if you are trying to stop mass deportation. You need to act that way as much as humanly possible. So you will make announcements like, over my dead body, or I'm not going to work with ICE. You have to make kind of threatening sounds like this. This is Governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker.
I made a promise to the people of Illinois. When it comes to threats to our freedom, health, or security, if you come for my people, you come through me.
Whoa, sounds scary. Oregon governor came out too, same thing.
I will not back down from a fight, whether it's access to reproductive and gender-affirming health care, staying on our path to reach our climate goals, protecting immigrant communities, upholding our civil liberties.
I'm not going to back down from a fight. San Francisco officials said the same thing Pittsburgh was. They're not going to work with ICE.
We know that San Francisco is a sanctuary.
Gosh, that voice is tough to deal with, isn't it?
We know that San Francisco is a sanctuary city. We will always be a sanctuary city.
We want to be clear. The sheriff's office does not and will not take part in immigration raids or any federal.
Okay, we're not going to work with them. Mayor of Minneapolis, same thing.
In the city of Minneapolis, we will stand up for you. And we will do anything in our power to help. Because you're not an alien in our city, you're a neighbor.
But here's the tightrope they have to watch. You have to walk. You have to oppose illegal immigration crackdowns. But you can't break the law, you see. So what they're trying to do, what all these mayors and governors, what they're all trying to do is you're trying to raise your profile in the Democrat Party. Because the Democrat Party's anti-American, they love illegal immigration. So you have to raise your profile by saying, no, I'm not going to help you deport Lupe. But they're not actually going to physically oppose ICE or oppose the deportation efforts, because that is a felony, and the Trump administration is proving to have actual teeth, and they have essentially come out and said, go ahead and oppose us. That's a felony. We'll have you arrested even if you're an elected official. So Democrat after Democrat after they're all doing it, and you're going to watch them all do it. Now you're going to laugh now that you see it. They're all playing the same game. They're all saying, we're not going to help ICE. We're not going to support ICE. But they can't actually oppose ICE, you see. Oh, they're going to stand to the side while ICE goes in there and grabs a bunch of rapists and murderers. They'll give them a disapproving look on the way by, but they're not actually going to stand in their way, because then you go from being an up-and-coming Democrat who's out there fighting for the foreign barbarians, you go from that into being the Democrat who got arrested on camera, the Democrat facing felony federal charges for illegal immigration, and that is where you don't want to be. You're seeing and will continue to see a fake resistance put up by a bunch of ladder-climbing Democrat losers who are only interested in earning their next position. They're not interested in protecting their city or their state. They don't even actually care about any of this stuff. They understand the rabid animals who make up the Democrat Party base. They want foreigners here by the million, and they'll try to get promoted in their own party by acting like they oppose it, but none of them will actually oppose it. That's the game being played right now. And they're watching a man who sounds dead serious about all this.
Today I'm also signing an executive order to instruct the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security to begin preparing the 30,000-person migrant facility at Guantanamo Bay. Most people don't even know about it. We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them, because we don't want them coming back, so we're going to send them out to Guantanamo. This will double our capacity immediately, right? And that's a tough place to get out of.
Outstanding. Jesse, 1,500 illegals a day isn't enough. This adds up to 2.2 million in 4 years. There needs to be other ways of getting 15 to 20 million illegals out of the country. I want them all gone. I thought that's what Donald Trump promised us. Any ideas? Okay, first, you know, I would be more than happy to criticize the administration if I felt like they were slow rolling this or breaking a promise. But they are out there publicly saying essentially what you just said.
Are you satisfied, Tom Homan, with the pace of migrant deportations?
No. We got to do more. We got to open that aperture up, which we're going to do. It was a great start. The first week was unprecedented. I mean, the illegal crossings on the border one day was like 540. I've never seen that, and I started on the border until 1984.
We're not satisfied. We've got more to do. I warned you repeatedly that mass deporting 20, 30, 40, 50 million people was probably not realistic. That in the end, if you have a president like Joe Biden who's going to intentionally bring in as many people as humanly possible, that is something the next administration likely cannot overcome even if they tried. I've warned you about that a million times, have I not? So here we are. Now, that said, what is the greatest immigration enforcement tool on earth? What is it? Think for a second. What is it? Is it walls, Border Patrol agents? What's the greatest illegal immigration enforcement tool out there? That's right. Chris actually guessed it. I can't believe this. Fear. Fear is your greatest tool. It is. People don't like to talk like that because we're obsessed with being nice for some ridiculous reason in this country. But the greatest tool you can have is illegals around the globe. Remember, people come from every country in the world. It's not just Latin America. All over the globe, people have heard for years that you can just walk into America and just dump on our immigration laws, and there really won't be any consequences. Maybe you'll get deported, but then you'll turn around and come right back. People around the globe now are hearing things like this.
¿Qué mensaje le das al país ahora que estás acá?
Que no se vayan. No se vayan porque los están deportando a todos. No, o sea, no los van a soltar al siguiente día.
Buenas tardes.
And they're afraid. They're hearing people say they're deporting everyone. They're afraid. Migrant caravans down hugely. You just heard Tom Homan talk about it, where our encounters at the border, it's off a cliff now. Because the greatest tool for immigration enforcement is the word getting on the street that we are closed for business. That is going to help snowball deportations. Self-deportations will be an enormous thing as we move forward. As people realize, I don't feel safe here. I don't feel secure here. Any day, ICE might come kicking down my door. That's how we want people to feel if they're here illegally. All right, I want to talk about suspending or deporting people with visas who we don't like. Let's discuss that along these exact same lines, and we'll do some emails before we get to Brandon Weichert. Let me first discuss preserving memories, your pictures. I want you to think just for a moment. Think about the pictures in your house, the hard copy pictures, the ones on the wall, the ones in that baby book, the ones in your wedding album. What happened if there's a fire tonight? What would happen? All those pictures gone, all those memories gone. Those old VHS tapes you have laying around, do you even have a VCR? Who has a VCR? I don't even own one anymore. Camcorder tapes. These things need to be digitized. Now, if you're like me, you don't have the first clue how to do that. I don't know anything about digitizing anything, but I don't have to because Legacy Box does. How am I preserving all those memories of my father? A box. We had to go through a freaking crate of pictures for his funeral. Crates of hard pictures. I won't ever have to do something like that again if I want to look at my dad, because they're all getting digitized. Go to legacybox.com/Jesse and get it done. That saves you 50%, I should note. They'll send you a box. You put it all in there and send it off. They handle everything. It's easy. Legacybox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a wonderful hump day. Don't forget, you can leave us a voicemail if you'd like, 877-377-4373. We're going to get into, Michigan's Peters here in just a moment. Before we do that, Trump signed an executive order to deport anti-Semitic student visa holders. And so what is this? Well, you saw all the college protests that took place after the October 7th attack by Hamas. And you had a bunch of kids on college campuses running out, oh my gosh, kill all the Jews, all that stuff. And Trump signing an executive order that says, hey, if you're here on a visa and you do that kind of crap, we will deport you. And there's been a lot of back and forth today about that on the right of, do I support it, do I not support it? Now, let me clarify. The people who are unsure of that is, their argument from what I've seen has been, well, okay, so it's just protecting people who have critical opinions, even ones you don't like. You know, you're not allowed to. And here's where I fall on that. I have no problem at all with people criticizing me, criticizing people I like, countries I like. I don't care at all. My thinking on this kind of stuff is, when you are a visa holder, you should be a model citizen at all times. Unless you are an American citizen, you should exist every single day here with a tiny bit of fear in your mind that if you step out of line, you are going to be removed from this country. That is basic immigration. That's how countries handle immigration. No different than if you were a guest in someone else's house. You make sure you put the toilet seat down. You clean up after yourself. You don't track mud into the place because you're a guest. It's not your house. You don't have ownership of it. You didn't pay for it. It doesn't belong to you. And as long as you're a guest, you mind your P's and Q's. But again, we've had such a backwards way of thinking when it comes to immigration in this country for so long because of the filthy communists who have infiltrated us, because of the feminized American Christian church. Ah, Jesus was a refugee. Because of all this idiocy we've had in the country, we now have this state of affairs where the American left, some of the American right, And every person who's here illegally, or in the very least is here without being a citizen, they all just feel entitled to it. All of them. I couldn't imagine. And look, I'll tell you this. You know, I'm not exactly, given my white trash background, I'm not exactly what you'd call sophisticated or a world traveler at all. But I have since, in the past 2 or 3 years, we've started to try to go to other countries. You know what a history geek I am. So we've done, you know, Italy. We've gone to Germany. We're trying to go over there. When I'm in these relatively civilized foreign countries, I am mindful of the fact that I am not a citizen. I am a guest. And as much of an ugly American as I can be, it is still on my mind, and I'm over there vacationing with my family. I'm not committing crimes. I'm not doing it. And even then, I am always mindful that this is not my country, and I need to ensure that I'm on my best behavior because it's not my country. And that's how you should think. That's the normal way to think. But we have been so poisoned by this America-hating mentality that now it's even remotely controversial that we're going to deport visa holders. Now, I'll take it way further than the Trump administration is taking it. I don't think you should be deported if you're a visa holder and you criticize Israel. I think you should be deported if you're a visa holder and you publicly protest anything. Period. If you stand in front of Red Lobster and call for a return of endless shrimp, that's fine. That's your right. That's fine. Unless you're here visiting. If you're here visiting, if you're not a citizen of this country, then you shut your freaking mouth. You be quiet. Go to work. You go to school. You try to stay out of my way and off of my radar. In the same way, guests who walk into my home, yes, even family members, they don't get to walk in, sit down in my chair, put their dirty shoes up on my table, grab the television remote, and tune into whatever they choose to tune into. That's not permitted in my home. And that exact same way, if you hold a visa here, you don't get to make trouble about anything. I'll take that well beyond criticism of Israel. I'll take it to criticism of anything at all. Now, on the flip side, if you're an American citizen, I don't care who or what you criticize as long as you're not breaking the law. You can stand on college campus and scream about killing all the Jews for all you want. It means nothing to me whatsoever. But if you are here and you're not a citizen, keep your feet off my table and don't even think about touching the remote. I'll deport you for looking at me the wrong way. That's how it should be treated. It's a privilege to be here. All right, Brandon Weichert is going to join us in just a moment, and we are about to get so much smarter about foreign affairs, China, shipping lanes, trade. Why is Russia in the Arctic? Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Love some Hall & Oates. Joining me now, Senior National Security Editor for the National Interest, my friend Brandon Weichert, who always has a lot of takes on things. Okay, Brandon, first, I might as well go ahead and tackle the big thing with you, the news of the day already. RFK Jr. obviously has a lot of thoughts on things that are much different than what people are used to. The point I've made over and over again tonight is if you're upset about that, well, you shouldn't have violated the trust of the American people over and over again. They're looking for something different now.
That's right. That's right. I really appreciate, yet again, Donald Trump does this thing where he'll make a statement or he'll pass a law or he'll nominate somebody that causes all of our elites to show who they really are. And in the case of the RFK nomination, you have Democrats like Elizabeth Warren who have, you know, made a career off supposedly representing the little guy and standing up for the people who've been wrong. And she spent 3 minutes this afternoon questioning RFK, demanding that he vow not to stand up for the little guy anymore by taking a 4-year vow to not sue any big pharmaceutical agencies that are in violation of the law, and that he basically allowed for her, as she put it, to vaccinate his kids. And so, you know, here we have it, you know, yet again, Trump has done something where it has forced the elite to show who they really are. They don't care about us. They hate us. And they want to basically drug us so that they can experiment on us with big pharmaceutical, industry behind them.
Brandon, where exactly did the pharmaceutical industry, where, when, when did it become what it is? And I don't expect them to all be a bunch of saints. It's a for-profit industry, and I want it to be a for-profit industry because that means the products get better for us. But when did it become this cabal between the government, FDA, big pharma? Because it's really, really ugly what has happened in this country.
Well, incidentally, oddly enough, I think it was when Lyndon Johnson basically created the current medical insurance market, whereby you had the businesses started providing for their employees health insurance. You had basically these rules being written by the government where they were getting involved in the cost of things and basically forcing these companies to change the way that they would do business ordinarily in a free market. One of the things that Donald Trump since 2016 has talked about, he was making fun of for saying this, but he talked about the lines, getting rid of the lines. And what he was talking about was, I live in Florida. If I find a cheaper health care insurance in Wisconsin or North Dakota, because I live in Florida, I can't purchase it. No other product is it like that for. So things like that actually have caused insurance to get into bed with government, create regulations that stifle competition, and actually, oddly enough, empower the insurance giants, who then, of course, stick it to all of us. And that also helps big pharma, because all of these insurance claims and whatnot causes prices to go up. It basically creates lack of competition among the big pharmaceutical industries, among the big insurance giants, and among government. It creates a sort of cartel, if you will.
Brandon, switching gears here, why is Greenland important? Everybody snickered and ha, 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 that's funny. Trump wants to take Greenland. But as I explained to people, whether you like the idea or not, he's dead serious about it. And strategically, it is important, but it's up north. It's icy. No one's ever going to go there. So people have a hard time understanding why it matters at all. Why does it matter?
Well, it matters because it's part of a larger movement by the Trump administration to restore hemispheric defense. Basically, since at least the Cold War's end, America has basically let its own backyard become overrun by hostile forces, whether it be local forces like Venezuela or Cuba. They've grown in power, and in turn, they've brought with them foreign outside elements, not only Iran, but also, more importantly, China and Russia. And this is also why Trump wants to reclaim the Panama Canal. And Greenland is a key sort of linchpin for America's northern defense strategy. We've allowed it to basically become this sort of open, door for China and Russia to exploit. Russia is crawling all over the Arctic since 2008. They've basically conquered it, and we've ignored that. And now we're waking up to the fact that, oh, my gosh, because Russia is controlling 80% of the Arctic right now, they're bringing China with them because they're buddy-buddy now. And Greenland, if we don't take it, is going to fall into the Chinese camp. In fact, that's why in 2019, Trump started talking about buying Greenland in the first term of his presidency, because China was moving in and trying to buy up all of the real estate in Greenland. And this is also part of a larger issue, which is that Trump is the only American president who realizes that post-Cold War American order is gone. We are now living at the beginning of a tripolar world order that is inherently unstable. It is a tripolar order divided between the U.S., China, and Russia. And for us to compete in that world order, we've got to make sure our own backyard is secure.
Okay, again, speak with Brandon Weicker. Walk me through this as if I'm stupid, because as you know, I am. Why does Russia want the Arctic? For a normal person, that doesn't make any sense at all. Who wants an inhospitable block of ice? Why?
Well, it goes down to geopolitics. You know, all of geopolitics throughout history is about controlling resources and controlling trade routes. And what we're finding is that the Arctic has probably the largest untapped bevy of rare earth minerals, which is the stuff we need to build modern technology, as well as untapped natural gas and oil deposits underneath that ice. The Russians, since 2008, have been heavily taking that stuff from there, and also the trade routes. So people may not know this, but there's two competing trade routes opening up, one along the Russian coast in the Arctic, and the other one, which is floundering, along the Alaskan and Canadian coastlines of the Arctic. The Russian trading route is known as the Northern Sea Route. They've been investing heavily in that route since 2008. It will take ships safely from Vladivostok along the Russian Pacific coast with China, and it will allow ships to go all the way around, all the way to Northern Europe, without having to pass through the Suez Canal. And it actually cuts down, I think, by about 2 weeks the travel time, which is a huge money saver for shipping firms. And Russia wants to make all the money off of transit fees by having those ships use their territory to pass through. We want to do something similar with the famous Northwest Passage. However, Canada is not letting us use it. There has been a territorial dispute with Canada since the 70s, which, by the way, is one of the reasons Trump is saying that he's going to annex Canada, because he wants to create a competing trading route in the Arctic to compete against Russia.
Brandon, okay, so you say create a trade route. Russia's creating a trade route, but it's the open ocean. They're not paving the roads. What does that mean, creating a trade route?
The Russians have built the largest fleet of nuclear ice. In fact, they're the only ones with nuclear icebreakers. China is starting to build their own now. But Russia has the only and the largest fleet of nuclear icebreakers. And those icebreakers are used to cut paths in the ice that then allow for Russian military as well as civilian shipping containers to pass through.
Gosh, that is so fascinating. Brandon, I should have asked beforehand, do you have time for one more quick segment? I have like a bunch more questions. All right, we're going to come back.
I'm here.
We're going to come back with Brandon Weicker, who's making us all smarter. We will steal all of his ideas, pass them off as our own, sound smarter to friends and family members, and that's what acquiring knowledge is all about. In fact, right now, I want you to pick up your Pure Talk phone, and I want you to call a member of your family or text a family member, a friend, a piece of knowledge you just learned from Brandon Weicker, and act like you came up with it yourself. It's what Pure Talk would want. It's the patriotic thing. It's almost as patriotic as actually switching to Pure Talk, because you really shouldn't be paying AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, because those countries hate your freaking guts. Switch to the company that actually loves us. They hire American citizens. They didn't have to be forced by Trump to hire Americans. Pure Talk was doing it back when Biden was in office. You get a hold of Pure Talk to switch your phone, you get to talk to an American. Right now, they're giving out free iPhone 14s or Samsung Galaxies for no money with qualifying plans. What do? You just dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. 10 minutes on the phone. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, reminding you, you can email the show, and you should, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But we are back with Brandon Weicker, senior national security editor for the National Interest. Brandon, do you have senior national security editor on your business card? Because that would be really cool.
Well, I don't have business cards because I do everything electronically, but it is in my electronic business cards.
I have business cards that only have my name and face on them. It's one of the best investments I've ever put in. I would highly recommend you do something along those lines. Anyway, I want to talk to you, shifting gears again. I want to talk a little bit about China right now, because when you wake up, you read things about China, which is all the time. You find out they are an economic juggernaut who's about to overtake us. And then the next day you read something that says their economy is on shaky ground. They're about to collapse. When you read about them militarily, you find out that they're capable of sweeping the U.S. Navy off the high seas in 5 minutes. And then the next day you read that their equipment is hot, stinky garbage. Their troops have no experience whatsoever, and they would collapse in a matter of days. What is China right now?
China is the world's next great superpower. I think Peter Thiel has said this, and I happen to agree with him, that basically he thinks that that China pays people in America to say one good thing about China, and then they pay another group to say one bad thing about China in order to confuse the American people and government as to what's really going on in China. I think you have to look at the data, and the data has been this. Since 2014, China is the number one economy in purchasing power parity terms. That is, according to economists, the best measure of a national economy, much more so than gross domestic product, GDP. In terms of GDP, we're still number one, but China is right at our heels at number two. They have a robust and growing high-tech sector. If you look at their human capital, that's their people. Compared to ours, they're graduating more PhDs in science, technology, engineering, and math fields. They're smarter than us in testing terms. And they are, as we just saw with artificial intelligence, they're starting to produce and innovate, not just copy and rip off the Americans, which is something we were told they could never do. So all this is to say, I am not of the mind that China's going away anytime soon. Even if it were to go away, I don't think the country would collapse. I think possibly Xi Jinping, the president, would go away and be replaced probably by someone much worse for us. And so all this is to say that China is the existential threat of our lifetimes. And unlike the Soviet Union of old, this country is an economic dynamo. Even if it has ups and downs, we have ups and downs too, by the way, in our economy. Nobody talks about the American system collapsing, you know, when we went through the Great Recession. Why do we say the same thing about China? We probably shouldn't.
Okay, so how did the dynamic change, meaning they're pushing ahead while we appear to be lagging behind? Because it's got to be more than, you know, education. Asians getting PhDs, it's not exactly breaking news or something new here. What changed?
Well, I think a lot of it is what actually people like Elon Musk have been complaining about, and this is why they formed Doge. A lot of this is bad government policies that have piled up for decades, whether we're talking about education policy, where we're prizing, you know, giving everybody a medal rather than making sure people can pass their tests, you know, or whether we're talking about the wokeification of our children, or other things such as, I don't know, having our government stymie innovation with regulations and taxes so much that American firms prefer to go overseas and do business rather than do it here. And so a lot of this is what Trump and Elon have been talking about for years, and they're finally in a position where they can start kind of cutting back on those things and encouraging, and in some cases forcing, American firms to stay in America and do business here, so that we benefit from it and get more competitive. Another key thing is China has consistently invested in building world-class infrastructure. And in doing so, having world-class infrastructure allows for other investments to be made and encourages real economic growth in the long term. The United States has not probably in 70 years done infrastructure properly. Again, that's something Trump has talked about fixing. And so I think that with Trump and with Elon and some of the people around Trump, I think we might actually start getting to the point of being competitive again with China.
Okay, real quick, wrapping this up. I've only got a couple minutes left here. Hypersonic missiles, they concern me. When I think about our carrier-based military, definitely our carrier-based Navy, it concerns me a great deal. Do we have countermeasures? Does it concern you, or is this overhyped?
I have been accused by the carrier folks at Navy of waging a jihad against the carrier because I believe hypersonic weapons and anti-access area denial systems have rendered the carrier obsolete. Hypersonic weapons are the game changer, and we don't have them. China and Russia do. We're trying to build them out. But by the way, this is the real reason Trump's talking about Iron Dome. If you actually read the executive order, he mentions more than just Iron Dome. He wants to build space-based interceptors. That's to combat hypersonics, because right now there is no active defense against hypersonics. The only ones that can be built would be in space.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty much horrifying. Brandon Weikert, go read everything he puts out there. Obviously, very sharp guy. Brandon, I appreciate you as always.
Having me.
Hey, Chris. I kind of want to get involved in the space aspect of all this. I know I hate space, but I also like cool stuff. And I feel like I could be part of, I don't know, a design group, if you will. Designing space weapons. This is something I've been hot on since I watched Alien for the very first time. No, don't roll your eyes, Chris. I feel like I have some good spaceship ideas, and I don't care. And by the way, I don't hate space. No, I don't. I'm uninterested in space. That's completely different. And when I say space, I mean outer space, not near space. It's just every time the scientists come at it, oh my gosh, we detected a watermelon on Uranus. And I don't understand why that any of that would interest me or concern me whatsoever. What, Chris? Do I want to go to Mars or the moon? No. Why would I? Why would I? No, it's not because I hate space. It's cold. I don't want to. No. No. I'm done with that. Now I'm not going to wear a jacket, Chris. See, this is why I need somebody different. And that's why I go to ZipRecruiter. You see, as you can tell, every day you listen to this show, you know finding good help is almost impossible if you try to do it yourself. ZipRecruiter is where you need to go. It's where you need to find your next employee, because all the good ones are there. There's a reason ZipRecruiter is the one employers prefer the most, because all the good people are already there. It's the lack of lag time that makes a difference. When you need somebody, when that pops up, someone's quitting, you're expanding, you don't need somebody 6 months from now, you need somebody now. Well, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a good candidate within the first day. How about that for no lag time? And you can try it free. Don't make the mistakes I made. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse allows you to try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We still have an hour. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.